This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Teacher Appreciation, was delivered on May 1st, 2022. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Amen. Good morning, my family. Hey, so we are going to continue our service, so I'm going to ask you to have a seat right now. We're gonna continue our worship service with a baby dedication. Yeah, so I'm gonna ask the family to come on up. Gonna take a while because that's half the church, I think. The baby's name is Kaulana, Kainoa, Hano Hano, Mavaena Aona Anela Kalani. I hope I never just messed that up. And he was born on February 23, 2022, to Sage and Keani. Come on, family. It's like, okay, this is how hard to get 30 people up here. Can you imagine Moses in the wilderness with probably a million people? Okay, you got to come across this way. You don't like to come in front of the camera. Come on, family. Let's go. We love you. Yeah. You're first place. You get to talk. Okay, you guys come in the front. Okay, no, he kicked the tripod, please. What a beautiful family. Yeah. Did I mess up the name? Oh, okay. Okay, mom and dad, you guys got to step forward so we can see you. And this is grandma and grandpa. Woo, I like telling that to young people, grandma and grandpa. Because not all grandpas look like this. Some can look like that. That means your kids never give you stress and make your head turn white. I hope my kid's not here. This is Kaulana. Look at him. Oh, so precious. So we got to explain to you, like, dedication is not salvation. Yeah, saying that you two, Sage Keanu, you guys are going to raise him according to the word of God. You're going to discipline him out of love, not anger, like mom, dad and mom might have done to you. We all, us young ones all got disciplined out of anger, I think. Yeah. But you get plenty help behind you. You get plenty help in front of you. This is your family. So when you need a babysitter, take your pick. Take your pick. Look, right there, get one. Look. See, look, all the hands. Right? So you guys can go on date nights. Because you guys got to make sure you guys take care of each other, show him what love is and respect is in the family. It's important. So it's doing all those things and more. So sometimes, like, wow, nobody told me how to be one parent, but the Bible tells us a lot. So I'm going to ask all of you to stretch out your hands. Lord, we are so grateful for Sage and Keani for their choice to dedicate baby Kaulana. Your word says children are a gift from God. They are fruit of the womb. So we thank you for this gift. And we pray for Sage as he, the head of the household, that he would discipline out of love, not anger, and that he would raise Kaulana according to the word, that he would take the time to read your word and to understand what it is, what being a dad is all about. We pray for Keani, as she is the mom, and mothers are so important, and we pray that she would get into her word and understand her role as a mother. And we just pray for both of them that they would raise Kaulana according to your word, discipline him according to your word. And Lord, we pray that Kaulana, as he grows up, you would bless him with good health. Surround him with good and great friends that would encourage him. We pray that he would come to accept you at a very early age. So, Lord, we ask that you cover them, you surround them. Lord, we dedicate him to you today. And as a family, we will all watch and look for his best interest. So we thank you that we get to do this today. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Yes. All right. So you guys can stay up here, take pictures a little while, move things around. The rest of you can go ahead and make your coffee, go greet one another while we get things done up here. Okay. But you need a wide angle lens. Chi shaka. Okay. So worship team, you look at the fried rice, the coffee, the PowerPoint, you know, the cameras and all that. Okay. All of that is by God. Nothing by me. Okay. Because if I was to do this by my strength, I would fall flat on my face. So it's all by God. So give God thanks. Yeah. All right, so this morning for our announcements, we have Pastor Steve. He's going to do our announcements and offering. You might have seen him coming around and checking us out. And, you know, he's like been a friend, a mentor for the last 22 years or something around there. And he's been such a blessing. His church, Word of God, which met in Hilo, they shut down the Y during the COVID, and they were not letting them return. So he prayed, and I prayed, and he said, I'm going to bring my church over here. And so we're gonna actually, on paper, we're going to shut down his church, and we're going to invite all his members to be a part of our family. So would you welcome Pastor Steve as part of our family?
Thank you very much. So this guy, yeah, I've known him 22 plus years, I think. And he has always been
a troublemaker,
a great, great friend. I mean, I know he's a pastor, but he is such a good friend. And he has always been so supportive. And he always talks about you guys when we get together. He always talking about how you guys are so loving towards him, loving towards one another. And at Word of God, our scripture was basically love God, love people. And I can see that you guys are doing that very, very, very well. And Susan, my wife, and I are so excited and happy to be coming here. We've been coming for the past over about 2 months now. And it's been great. You guys have been so welcoming, and I just appreciate that. Susan's not here. She has a little sickness, not COVID, but yeah. So today, announcements, this Saturday, the 8th, the men's ministry will not be meeting. And then on the 14th of May, Saturday, We will be having a fellowship here. Starts at 9 a.m. and we're going to have lots of fun, barbecue, lots to eat, just fellowship, spend time together, get to know each other a little bit better. And I'll be there and I hope you will come too. So we're going to do the offering now. So you guys have several different ways that you can give to the Lord: online, in person, by mail, and also by text. So I have a scripture that I wanted to read, if I can find the right page. Here we go. So this is 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If you bow your heads with me, we'll pray over the offering. Most Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much. You are such a generous God. You give us so much in our lives. And Lord, the world is in turmoil right now. So many different things with COVID and wars and politics, Lord. And we just ask that you would bring peace to the world. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. Please accept these tithes and offerings from our heart to grow your church here in KL. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank God bless you, Pastor, you all.
We're so glad to have you here. You're going to just add so much to our fellowship, and we welcome you. When you get a chance after service, go say hi to him and meet him. He's tall. He may look intimidating, but he is just like a super nice guy. All right, hey, can you believe it's like May 1st. May 1st. So, important question, those of you who are teachers and students, how many more days left for school? 18. Oh, somebody's ready already. 18. 18 for teachers or 18 for students? 18 for students. That's the main one, huh? Woo! Yeah. So, hey, this week, this first week of May is always Teachers Appreciation Week, right? Right, Corey, yeah? So how many teachers we got in here? Just one. Stand up. I'll like to see the teachers. Come on, just please. I just like recognize you. One, two. That's all. Wait. Jeanette, you're at homeschool. What about homeschool teachers? Homeschool teachers. Stand up, my homeschool teachers. Jeanette, I know you're doing a wonderful job with your children. Wow. So it is Teachers Appreciation Week. Sometimes I think, why do they wait until May to do this? I mean, the year's almost over. Why not do it like when they first go back in September? Like, why don't you tell them you appreciate them? And I kind of thought, it's like, why did they wait for so long? Then I thought, when I was a student, I was rotten. And I think that by this point of the school year, the teachers needed to feel appreciated because of kids like me. So we need to do this like me, because they're ready to kick them out of class or hang them up by the shoes or do something. So we better tell them we appreciate them now. When I was in high school, my teacher used to get so mad at me. He used to grab my desk. Sometimes he used to put them outside the door, so I had to sit up there. Sometimes he put them right next to him, so I was sitting in class like this, looking at the rest of class. I was pushing the buttons, and teachers were like, if I could throw this guy off the fourth floor, I think I would. I wish I could go back and tell them I'm sorry, but I don't know. I think after I left school, I think they either like, I'm retiring after this guy. This is it. Either that or sorry, unfortunate, maybe an early grave because of me, and I'm so sad. So yeah, I was really just like worst case scenario students for you teachers. That was just picture your worst student. That was me. After class, what I gotta do? Oh, I was listening again. Yeah. So, I had many, I'm pretty sure a lot of them were really good teachers, great teachers. But, you know, because of the way I was, you know, and just like even my jobs, my bosses, I'm sure they were good bosses, good teachers. And, you know, someone taught me what to do, someone taught me what not to do. Some taught me how to make decisions. Some taught me how to prioritize things and, you know, get things done. My parents tried to teach me many things, but like most kids, man, we don't listen. How many of you listen to your parents? We get one, wait, try, how many of you listen to your parents? One, two, hey, you guys cannot lie now. How many of you didn't listen to your parents? Oh, we got a problem with honesty here. Yeah. So, sometimes, you know, when we get older, we make comments like, oh, I wish I would have listened to them. You know, you're like my mom used to tell me, save your money, save your money, save your money, save your money, save your money. Like, yeah. And then later on, like, oh, I wish I'd saved my money. So, maybe, could have been their style of teaching me. You know, instead of saying, save your money, they could have, you know, helped me or showed me something. But maybe it was their style of teaching. Maybe it was my attitude. You know, sometimes, like for me, we come to appreciate them when we are in their role. Or sometimes after they're gone, we're like, oh, I miss my parents. I really appreciated what they did. They tried to teach me. And sometimes we remember that. And we come to appreciate them too late when they're gone. And we can only try and remember what they said. And sometimes I think about, you know, what my mom or my dad may have said to me, and I was like, wow, that was a good lesson. I wish I caught it 50 years ago. You know, sometimes the light goes on, bing, oh, shoot, that was like 40 years too late. Jesus, he was the example of what a good teacher is. You know, he taught in so many different ways. He used illustrations that people, even me, could understand. You know, the farm illustrations to those who had animals who had farmed, who grew crops, to those who had livestock, talk about the sheep and the goats and, you know, the donkeys, and they could understand them. To the guys who grew crops, he talked about, you know, like the wheat, if the wheat doesn't die, it doesn't produce a seed that makes more wheat. So people could understand the way he taught. So as you go about your week, you know, take a look at those who you learn from. I mean, I learn stuff from my children. Still, you know, they're younger than me. I learn stuff from people younger than me, and there's nothing wrong with that. But look at those you learn from, whether it's your teacher, whether you're in school, because I know our children's ministry is in church today, so whether you're in school, whether it's your teacher you learn from, whether it's your boss or your parents, let them know you appreciate them for one thing. Let them know what you learn from them, and most of all, thank them. But be careful, okay? So if you learn some stuff from them, like what not to do, you might not want to share it. Oh, like that, I learned not to get drunk because I see you were drunk. You look like a fool. And yeah, it's like, oh, so hopefully them seeing me drunk, it's like, oh man, I do not want to drink because look at that. Or I learned not to drink and drive because I've seen how many cars you cracked up. You know, so if you learn that kind of stuff from them, you might want to keep it to yourself. Yeah. So tell them what you learn and make sure it's encouraging, because that's what Jesus will do, amen? So this week, we just want to appreciate those who teach us. So number one here, teaching requires relating. You ever try to learn some from somebody who you just cannot relate to? I mean, it's like, huh? I don't know where they're coming from. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and he is talking about this. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all. Why? So that I may win more. Win more what? Win more over to Christ. To the Jews, I became as a Jew, so that I may win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being under the law, under myself, under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. So that was his whole purpose of this. So that he may save some. In verse 23, I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. So Paul, I mean, this guy was incredible. He wrote most of the New Testament, right? And he started out as one who was persecuting the church and the Christians. And here he is writing to the Corinthian church. And he gives several important principles for his success in teaching ministry, and all of it has to do with relating to people. Sometimes you see people on street corners shouting, and if God tells them to do that, that's fine, because they're being obedient. But I believe, man, we can reach more people when we have a relationship with them, when we relate, we know what they're going through. And that's very important. So one of the things he talked about is finding common ground with those who you are in contact with. You know, when I used to be a salesman on Oahu. So I used to go from supermarket to supermarket selling stuff. And when I first started this route, man, it was difficult. It was so difficult because they didn't know me. They didn't trust me. So it took a while. I had to find out, okay, this guy likes to talk about golf. Really, he's like a golfer, like you, Fred, likes golfing. So on the weekends, I would watch golf. I would watch, turn on the TV, watch the PGA Tour, find out who wins, look at some of the good shots. When I would go back on Monday, see him, hey, you see that golf game this weekend? How was this shot on the 18th hole? Oh, yeah, was amazing. Oh, yeah, and the guy would win, and they're like, wow, what you need? Oh, you need an order. Yeah, go order this, and this. So by the end of my 3 years there, this guy would say, hey, just whatever you need, just send the order in. Why? Because I had to develop a relationship with him, and from that relationship, he trusted me. Not to send him, you know, one whole container worth of stuff that he couldn't sell. But it was I had to find that common ground with him. And one guy was golf, one guy was football, and good thing I never had any beautician clients, because I would have flunked, man. It's like, oh, how's that eyelashes they do nowadays? Like, really? So it was good that most of my customers were men that like sports and like fishing, because, woo, I could do that. Okay, so we got to find, you know, if you're trying to share something with somebody, man, if you're trying to teach something to somebody, find common ground. You're trying to teach a student, find something in common. You're trying to teach your kids, find something in common. Maybe if you teach your kids, maybe you got to, like, son, daughter, you know. Yeah. My parents was always like this. Yeah. One kind of work, for, you know, for the most part. Okay, so number two, you got to avoid the know-it-all attitude. You know, the more I read the Bible, the more I know I don't know. Seriously. You cannot be like, oh, yeah, I know, I know. You ever talk to your kids? I know. I know. I know. Stop it. I know. You don't know. I'm just trying to explain to you. Yeah. Make others feel welcome. Make them feel accepted. Right? And this is one. You gotta kind of be sensitive to their needs and their concerns. And all of you right here, you have a circle of influence. Even those young ones, the young kids, the children over here, you have a circle of influence. Maybe your siblings, maybe your cousins, and maybe your peers, and all of you, we have somebody who is influenced by us. And these four things, if you practice them, probably will make you a better teacher. I know I need to work on some of them. Right here at New Hope Easter Y, we have tried to create this culture where, man, if you walk in, we want to welcome you. We want to make you feel like you belong here, whether it's your first day or you just walked in off the street from the mainland. We want to welcome you. We want to know about you. We want to know how we can pray for you. That's why we ask you, if you want a prayer request, just fill out that tab on your bulletin, drop it in the blue acrylic box back there on the coffee table, and we can pray for you. It's hard work to create and to keep this culture. And I know that's what Jesus would want. And for me, that fourth point of being sensitive to the needs and concerns, that's the one I really got to work on the most, because sometimes I ask you how you're doing, and sometimes I get distracted right after that. I need to stop and just listen. Not just listen to your words, but I need to listen to your heart. So, I got to work on that part. Pray for me about that. You know, I don't spend hours and hours with you to find out your needs and concerns, but hey, if you want me to come to your house and hang out with you, I will. You don't have to hide all the booze. Just wherever it is, it is. I understand that. We use rum to make bananas Foster, right? Right? We use vodka to make vanilla extract. Right? We use beer to make miso pork or beer batter fish. So, like, there's nothing wrong with that. So, yeah, if you want me to hang out, you want to go to lunch, call me up. I take you to lunch, and we can eat, and I get to know you better so that I can pray for you. Or you could submit a prayer request, and we could do it that way. So, number two, the Bible can be our best teacher. I say can because we can read the Bible and just treat it like a book. And just read the Bible. Oh, I read it. Check off that box. Done it. Complete. You know? So what I say, I can, because really, when we read the Bible, it's up to us what we do with it. Like, you see, when I was in high school, I had probably some of the greatest teachers. But I didn't realize that because my attitude sucked. You know, I didn't realize until it was too late. So, you know, my attitude of going to school was like, why do I need to be here? I already know everything I need to know. Right? I got my license. I can drive. I have a job. Bagging groceries. Hey, I was good. I was good. I was making, my first job was at the gas station, bicycle to work. $2.90 an hour. Woo! Yeah. Then my second job was a bag boy, courtesy clerk. I was making $3.05. I was making above minimum wage. I was good. Some of you thinking like, $3.05, that's not going to buy one hamburger nowadays. But that's how old I am. Gas was like 50 cents a gallon. $20 couldn't fill up the biggest truck in this parking lot. Seriously. They would say, fill them up, Ethel. Remember that, the old guys? That was supreme. And they would give me $20. And that wouldn't fill up the whole gas tank. And so I thought I knew it all in high school. So I was like, why? My attitude was bad. Yeah. And like I told you, at one time I thought my bosses were horrible, but they weren't. It was me and my attitude. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, this is one of those scriptures that you highlight in your Bible, that you underline, that you memorize, that you take with you wherever you go for the rest of your life. Is it in your bulletin? It's in your bulletin. Yeah. Everybody get bulletin. Okay. Oh, it's right there. Okay, you ready? We're going to read them together. Ready? Go. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Okay, remember that. So that the man of God, woman of God, so that me would be adequate, equipped for every good work. And what scripture? All scripture. Now, when we read the Bible, if we can remember the scripture in mind, when we read like all scripture, all scripture, all scripture, and as I read, remember all these things I'm reading is God-breathed, is inspired by God, so that it's there to teach me. And then in Romans 15:4, it says this, for whatever was written in earlier times, all this, in earlier times, meaning 2,000 plus years ago, was written, if you get your Bible, you can cross out our and put my. Was written for my instruction. Sometimes we read the Bible and we look at our spouse. Well, you see this? You see this, honey? You see this? Submit. The Bible says submit. Sometimes we read it for other people, but whatever was written in earlier times is written for my instructions, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of scriptures, that I might have hope. This was written for my instruction, so that I may have hope. The knowledge of scripture affects our attitude toward the present and the future. And the more we know about what God has done in the past, I tell you, the confidence of what he's going to do in the days ahead is like, COVID come, all right, God, I know that we have hope because I've seen what you've done in the past. So whatever you're going to do in the future is going to be a lot better. We get to spend our lifetime here on earth studying the Bible. It doesn't get old or stale. I've read it for the past 22 years, and it still teaches me. It still trains me. It still corrects me. And the more I read it, the more I realize I need it. So, you know, Jesus was the greatest teacher. The opposite end of the teaching is the learning or the student. How can you and I be better students? Teachers, pay attention, right? So you can tell this to you. How can we be better students? Number three, our attitude has a lot to do with learning. You know, yeah. How many of you had bad teachers? What did you learn from your bad teachers? What not to do, right? Yeah. Our attitude has a lot to do. You know, so if you go into a church, it's like, oh, Pastor Scott is talking today. Ah, Wow, I need 10 cups of coffee for stay awake with this guy. Oh, well, your attitude might be like, okay, you might not learn anything. But if you go into church, you're like, oh, Pastor Scott not teaching today? Oh, no. It's like, you got to come in here with like, okay, God is going to use whoever is up here to teach me something valuable. Any church you go to. And, yeah, so last Sunday, I wasn't here. I took my wife to Oahu to see her dad. I did a blessing on my dermatologist's new clinic, and I decided to go to Kauai Hau Church. I mean, wow, I went inside there. It was the first time in my life I've been inside there. And I was like, wow, oh, this place is so beautiful. I was in awe. And Pastor Kenneth spoke, and he said this, and this is like what I got out of his sermon. It was redesigned to realign. So things are so different now, so we got to realign and redesign everything to make it understandable. So he said this about people coming to church. We all come in the church as patients. We all hurt. We all bruise. Satan gave us some jabs, some false cracks during the week, and we come in like, oh, I feel beat up, man. So we all come in as patients. Not the kind of patients where we gotta wait. The kind of patients that we see on doctor for. We all come in as patients. And then we leave as doctors. Because now we get the stuff that can help heal other people. It's like, wow, you heard that? I'm a doctor. I wonder what happened if I park in the doctor's parking at Queens. I always thought, because, you know, you ever went to Queens, you got to go around and around and around until you get to the top to park, right? And as you get like, oh, you stay. I was like, but I come in here for prayer. I like one spiritual doctor. I should be able to park in a doctor's parking. But I don't. Okay? And I don't take that entitlement thing. But yeah, so we come in as patients. We get the message. We get all healed up. And we take that and we go help heal other people. I'm like, oh, yeah, doctor. Sorry, Dr. Kurahara, but we get plenty of doctors here. But you come in as a doctor, you leave as a doctor, so it's all good. So our attitude, man, I tell you what, you got to come, wherever you go to a church or a classroom or you go to work, man, you come in, you go with that attitude. Go in with an attitude like, you know, what can I learn today? And even if you are the boss, what can I learn from my workers? What can I learn from whatever I'm doing? One time I was working on my house, when I was building my house. This is a valuable lesson. My friend was joking around with me. I went stick finger to him. 2 minutes later, I would slap my finger, my middle finger, with a checkered face framing hammer. I learned. The finger is not for the finger for do that to people. Attitude, change. Sorry, I never gonna do that to you again. Yeah. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, if we read the Bible thinking that we know it all, we read it all, it's all good, then we ain't gonna learn nothing. But Peter tells, grow in the grace of our knowledge of Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Peter tells us that once we receive Jesus Christ, that's when it begins. It doesn't end there. That's when we grow. It happens when we have the right attitude. In 2 Peter 1:5-8, now for this very reason, applying all diligence, in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. Catch this, okay, in verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Christ, Jesus Christ. You know, so our faith gotta be more than belief in certain facts, but our faith is gonna result in our actions, our growth, our character, our patience, our moral discipline. Or if we don't, then probably a lot of these things are gonna die. And Peter lists these several faith actions to learn to know God better and developing perseverance, doing God's will, loving others. These actions, I tell you what, they don't just like automatically come when you receive Jesus. They require hard work. They're not optional. And all of them must be a continuing part of our life. It doesn't like, oh, I got this one done and start another one. It's like we work on these all the time. We don't finish one, start the next one, but all together. And God empowers and enables us. But he also gives us the responsibility to read this word, to learn from it, and to grow. How many of you, how many of you read the Old Testament? Only half of us. Working on it, good. Okay, so how many of you read through the book of Numbers? Yeah. How many of you read through the book of Numbers like, oh, Lord, why I gotta read this? Why I gotta read you all these names and numbers? What relevance does it have with me? Right? And because we read it with that attitude, we just skim. Blah, 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 I cannot pronounce his name. Blah, 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 I cannot pronounce his name. Blah, 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 I cannot pronounce his name. And blah, 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 I cannot pronounce, what is this? And we just went like, choo, 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 choo. Okay, I'm done, check the box. Did that once, I was reading through all these names. God, what's up? Seriously. Like, all these guys dead, gone. Yeah, you see their names. So-and-so was the father of so-and-so, was the father of so-and-so, was the son, and this. So I was complaining to God about why I have to read that. And then God stopped me. He said, oh, Scott. Oh, man, it's not just these names, but that's all the people in your church. It's like, their names. And their children's name. Well, I'm trying to. Do you know the grandchildren's name? Do you know their parents' name? Their grandparents' name? Oh, shoot. Okay. So now I try to read through it slowly, thinking of all of you. It's like, wow, I didn't even know their parents' name or their grandparents' name. The linemen, I'm still trying to get names of their 10 kids. And when COVID broke out and the 10 was the limit, I think they had to kick out 4. Because they had like 14 in their house. They're like, oh my gosh. And you try to remember all their names. If you don't spend time with them, you're going like, oh, Josiah, Jason, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Yeah. So that's what it is. So if we read through it slowly with a different attitude, maybe God would have something in there for us. What can I learn from the book of Numbers? What will you reveal to me? So I believe when we read the Bible, we got to open that book with an attitude like, wow, I get to learn something from my Creator today. He is going to speak to me, the Almighty, the Living, the Powerful God, the Creator of the universe has something to tell me today. Wow. It's like you get your phone call and it's like, oh my gosh, it's Jesus. Oh, I better answer. It's like, oh my gosh, it's my wife. Okay. Say, call me later. No, it's, oh my gosh, it's Jesus calling. I gotta listen to him. If we go to the Bible with that attitude, man, I bet we get so much. And when he does and he will speak to you, wow, that's now it's like the ball is in your court. Now we got to take action. Some of you don't want to read the Bible for that very purpose. Oh, what if God called me to be a pastor? Whew! He did! I was scared out of my shoes. But what are you going to do? Are you going to, when God tells you something, are you going to say, oh, that's okay, disobey? Or are you going to just say, okay, Lord, I will go because you're sending me, so I'll go. I mean, it's like back when you was a student, the teacher taught something. You were listening. It's like, wow, I got it. 9 plus 9 is 18. I learned something. You know, it's like, you know, you think about it. We've been taught and we don't listen. Like, I'm the prime example of trying to be taught. You know, when I was building my house, my friend would call out measurements from the roof. And he would say 15 and 13 sixteenths. I thought, how many lines is that? I didn't know how to read a tape measure. I didn't know what the sixteenths and the eighths, and I didn't know any of that. Oh, and so many times pieces of wood come flying back at me because it was wrong. And I didn't even, after building my house, I still didn't learn how to read a tape measure. Seriously, until I started building cabinets. And you think I'm building cabinets and I don't know math. So I just got to change my attitude when I'm trying to be taught. So, you know, we got to make adjustments. We got to, especially our attitude, especially when learning. You know, as a student, whether we sit in the classroom, whether we sit at the feet of Jesus, reading his word, listening to our boss babble on and on and on about projections and return of profit and all that kind of stuff, sometimes it's like, seriously. But if we go in with an attitude, if I learn this and if I understand this, then I can help the company in a better way. If I learn what I get from the Bible and I apply this, I can help grow God's kingdom here on earth. You're a teacher, how can I relate to them so I can teach? You're a student, how can I change my attitude so I can learn? If you had someone in the past that had a bad attitude, you know what it's like. If you try to teach somebody with an attitude that you could smell a mile away, you know what it's like. Maybe we couldn't relate to them. That's why their attitude was like that. But man, if we can adjust our attitude, if we can relate to people before we teach them, then maybe their attitude might change. But this is Teachers Appreciation Week. I mean, go appreciate your teachers. Tell them how much you appreciate them. So, you know, we do have a few teachers, even the homeschool teachers. I want you guys to stand up because I want to pray for you guys, because you guys have a tough job. Some parents, they drop off their kids and expect you to do the parenting and the teaching. Yeah? It's like, well, that's not fair. That's not fair. So I'm going to ask that the teachers would stand up, even if you're homeschool teachers, you know, and we're going to stretch out a hand, whoever you're closest to, and we're going to pray for you. So all you teachers, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I just want to honor you guys for what you guys do. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so stretch out your hand to the closest teacher near you. Lord, thank you for these teachers. They have the most difficult job that one can imagine. I mean, I know parents drop them off and expect the teachers to be teacher and parent, nanny and everything, and expect them to shape their kids when it's not their responsibility. So I pray that you would give them hope that what they're doing is making a difference. I pray that you would give them strength and help them persevere through all the bad students that come across their line, and that they would relate to them. And that the students would have a good attitude to learn. So I pray for all the teachers, not only here, but in our communities that teach our kids, that you would give them just the will to love the kids and to teach them out of love, and not just for a paycheck, because they went into this to make a difference, and I pray that they would make a huge difference in the next generation. So we thank you for these teachers. We lift them up to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Oh, okay. If you never get your communion cups, who never gets your communion cups? Raise your hand. Myra, give them some. Raise your hand, somebody. That whole row over there. Yeah. Okay. Pastor Aaron, our wonderful, wonderful guy who takes care of the worship team.
Thank you, Pastor Scott. And just want to take this opportunity to, if any of my teachers are out there watching, first of all, I'm sorry. And second of all, I really do appreciate you, especially the ones that I thought I was smarter than you, because I really wasn't. And you taught me anyway, despite my attitude. So thank you to all of the teachers out there this morning. As you know, this month, May, throughout the month, we are doing appreciations and remembering certain people in our lives. We're going to remember, because of Memorial Day, the soldiers, and we're going to recognize the, we always do the firemen and the first responders, yeah? Those other guys, you think about it, only when we need them, we remember them. Only when we need them do we honor them. And what we want to say is we appreciate you at all times. Amen? Well, this morning, we are taking communion together. And basically, that is what we're doing. Well, once a month, we take the time out to remember what God did for us. He sent his only son to suffer for us and to give us a way into heaven with him, because we couldn't do that on our own. That's the kind of God we serve. So this morning, we'll do something a little bit special, not along the lines that we usually do. What we're going to do is our worship team is going to share a song with us. And as they do, would you take the time, as you're listening to the song, take the time to remember our great Savior, Jesus Christ. Go ahead, worship team.
I just want to speak the word of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
I just want to speak.
Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life.
Yes, it is.
Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Your name shout is Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name. Jesus. Ooh.
Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name. Jesus.
Want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name.
Jesus. The only name we ever need to know. Jesus Christ. And that is who we get to remember this morning. It says that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and then he broke it. And he passed it around and he said, "This is my body that has been broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." Go ahead and take up the bread. And then it says, likewise, he took the cup and said, "This is my blood poured out for the ransom of your sins, the ransom of for the sins of many." Go ahead and drink of the cup. And let's pray. Heavenly Lord, we thank you. Thank you for Jesus Christ. And we just want to shout his name through our lives and everything that we do as we remember him, Lord. It is because of your love that you sent him. And because of his love that we get to spend eternity with you. So don't ever let us forget. Always remind us to appreciate, Lord. That we get to appreciate what you have done for us. Father, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Aaron. You know, it's a little late, so we're not doing the postlude. Next week, Sunday is
Mother's Day.
What? What? Mother's Day. We got a special treat for you, so bring your mother. I need men. I need you guys, some of you men. I need at least a handful because we're going to make some bentos for the mothers. So I need you guys to come here and help me cook. Because if I cook, you guys are going to get just rice. And then they're going to take me out back and stone me later. So I need you to come. If you can, come help. Come see me after service, and I'll hook you up with something. If anybody, I found this album of really old pictures of when we first started our church. And I was like 170. Whew. You can take a look at it. It's here. But God bless you all. Have a great day. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for this day. I pray for each and every one here that they would have a great week, that they would appreciate their teachers, that they would relate to them, others, so that they can be teachers themselves. Thank you for your word. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you all.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.